My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Just once in a while, My Music goes visiting. We're still in London, but we're the guests on this particular occasion of the Institution of Electrical Engineers. We being, as usual, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. We don't have an electronic scorekeeper because such things don't have the charm of our walking abacus, Mary Bell. So we begin. This institution stands almost exactly on the site of the original headquarters of the British Broadcasting Company. So, for this opening round, at any rate, I thought we'd look back to earlier broadcasting days when newsreaders wore dinner jackets and vaudeville programmes were punctuated by Stainless Stephen. Semicolon. John, just about the time the BBC was born, so was this novelty foxtrot. Can you give it a title, John? And perhaps a composer?
And would it be something by Zez Confrey?
Got it in two, yes. Zez Confrey's most famous composition. Frank must know it, I think.
Oh, yes.
An alliterative title on the keys.
Kitten.
Yes, well, yes. I'm in generous mood this week, I think, yes. Yes, Kitten on the Keys, written by Zez Confrey. Z-E-Z, marvellous name. Talking to our producer about this earlier on, he said, you know, you must realise that a vicar must at some point have said, I name this child Zez. Actually, he was Edward E. Confrey. Kitten on the Keys. You have a mark yourself.
When was the BBC begun? 1922.
Well, Kitten, yes, 22. Kitten on the Keys was 1921, so it's...
No, that was 1920, maybe.
Frank, your turn. In what sense?
Because I was invented in 1920. Yes. And this Thompson submachine gun and Welling Garden City.
In that order?
Yes. Irrelevant. Yeah.
Frank, your turn. In what sense was this a first-rate version but a second-hand copy?
Georgia. Georgia. An old sweet song keep Georgia on my mind.
I grew up with this record.
Yes.
And I just bought an electric pickup. Do you remember?
Heavy thing.
You screwed them in. A pound and a half of Bakelite. You could just lift it onto the thing. And it's Netganella.
Yes. In what sense, though, was it a second-hand version?
Well, it was a cover, as they call them nowadays. Yes. He was reproducing his version of the Louis Armstrong
record. That's right, yes. And, of course, there was yet another hit version of that song later on.
Georgia. Georgia. The whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
And do you know who, if you don't, Dennis does, just for interest, who that was?
Well, I shouldn't.
It's Ray Charles.
Yes, Ray Charles had a hit with that in 1960.
All three very good versions.
Indeed, and of course a lovely Hoagy Carmichael song. Ian, back to those early days of broadcasting and a song of our pre-teens. See if you recall the next words after the record stops.
But then, of course, it isn't, everyone can say, they used to bark the honourable hay. Lord John Montague, Sir Richard Twistlefins, Captain Cartlett...
Which the something twins.
Yes.
It's other people's babies.
And yes, and the Ramrod twins.
The Ramrod twins.
Other people's babies. By, you know the song by?
Vivian Ellis.
Yes, and, well, the words by...
Alan Herbert.
A.P. Herbert. Sir, yes. Alan Herbert, that's right. Other People's Babies. Nora Howard, the singer. Mm-hmm.
You're saying, Steve, about this being virtually on the same place as Tuello. Mm. Wonderful bit of folklore I heard about those very, very early days of Stuart Hibbard announcing that somebody would be there would be a piano interlude, and sometimes the piano interludes were played on a pianola. And he had announced this in one place, and the pianola began to get slower and slower and finally stopped. And he dashed to the other studio to find that the man who had switched it on had his tie, and his tie had rolled up, and he came, and his chin was right up again. And he had to cut him free with his penknife.
That's a sweet story.
I thought it was going to be that joke about Ernest Lush. Do you remember? Yeah. He was one of the pianists. Yes. And it said that an announcer at one point said, "And now we're going to have an interlush by Ernest Lude."
Dennis, still with old songs, Cole Porter came up with an ingenious line about a tune being the tin pantithesis of melody. Well, that's what he wrote. It wasn't always what was sung. Listen.
I got the sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring to curb your emotions to curb while I crucify the verse. The verse I started seems to me the tin pantithesis of melody.
Didn't quite make it. Yeah.
The tin pans and uses. Who was it, Dennis?
That was Francis Day.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Do you remember the show?
It was Cole Porter. Yes,
stage show.
Fleet's lit up, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. Manny Day. But it was in Red Hot and Blue for Ethel Merman and Bob Hope on the
Red Hot and Blue was an interesting show because it started a trend. There was Ethel Merman and Jimmy Durante, and they couldn't decide, or at least they couldn't agree, on who would have top billing. So they were billed in this ingenious sort of X form, taking the turns different weeks as to who was the left and who was on on the right. So nobody was actually above the other.
Berlin, Rogers, Swan, Romberg. They're among the composers represented, one of them more than once, in this piano medley. And now you wish you'd been listening when I gave the four names. Here's the medley. Right, John and Frank, the first
to
one.
To add insult to injury, the yes. First one is the Warsaw Concerto.
Yes, Richard Adinsell's Warsaw Concerto, yes, that's right. Then, la di di da 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 di. Frank?
Da 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 dum da da dum da da.
No, not that one, no.
You didn't play it.
I'll have to tell you that one. It's Russian Lullaby was the name of the song.
Get away.
Then, la di da da di.
When you get too old to dream, I'll have you to remember.
Yes, when I grow too old to dream.
Can I have an extra half mark for Moldau by Smetana? Da di 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 da dum da di.
No, I didn't play it.
Deuce nearly.
And there was another tune that went
out of my dreams and into your arms I long to fly.
From Oklahoma! Exclamation mark.
I've got the next four too.
Well, no, this next one's for Ian or Dennis.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's because
while you were talking to those two gentlemen over there, I was trying to make out what it says, and according to my writing, it says, same day Mrs. Price will come. And then I realise it's someday my prince will come. Yes. Which is the worst joke in the world as being the amateur photographer's song. Yes. Someday my prince will come.
Then came a quick snatch of something that maybe had you writing, Ian, did it?
It was a quick snatch, and I thought, my goodness, I looked up alarmed at the audience because I didn't. Yeah. Oh, goodness. it's the rather large amorous mammal song.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it was indeed mud, but you didn't.
Dennis turned me and said, "That's one of yours."
That's right. Then came
always,
and finally,
you forgot to remember.
Yes, that's right.
I think you should dock me one for not recognising the hippopotamus.
Two. See if you're ahead. No, we'll dock you half, I think. That's what we'll do. Dock him half. An opera. All of us on this programme, on this platform, indeed, know it. One of us knows it particularly well. So, John, first of all, a few seconds from the overture. John, that overture has something in common with the overtures to Elisabetta, L'Equivoco Stravagante, and Aureliano in Palmira. What have they all in common?
Same music.
Yes. Yes, because
Rossini was a lazy devil.
Yes. He kept using overtures over and over again.
Yeah, nicest thing you've ever said about a composer.
I've seen the original score of The Barber of Seville in the library at Bologna, and he really was lazy, because when there was a repeat of anything, there would be elaborate signs so that he didn't have to write it all out again.
Well, yeah.
But, Ian, whenever there was any coloratura, it was most meticulously written. Yes. Absolutely no errors possible.
Well, because you can't trust singers not to play
about. Because you can't trust singers.
Can't trust singers to do it even when it's written down.
Frank, quite early in The Barber, we meet a boastful character. I'm so much in demand, he sings. Thomas Allen there. Why Frank, is he in so much demand?
Well, they were very hairy in Seville. But, you know, because they were foreigners, you know, mostly Spanish.
Ah, that accounts for a lot of things.
He was the barber.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And the barber also, he also presumably bled them.
Yes, that's right. And wig making as well. Yes.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, fascinating. Yes, right. And he was also a great fixer, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Confidential advisor on love affairs, yes. Ian, your own role as Dr. Bartolo in the Glyndebourne recording. Ian, I've heard it alleged that singers have been known to perform a role in a foreign tongue without actually knowing what the words meant. So, what were you singing about?
Well, I have heard that said, but I would doubt if it has been true for many, many, many years. I think most singers would need to know what they were singing about. What I was singing about in that particular moment was to my ward, Rosina, whom I discover is trying to make assignations with a young man, and I have matrimonial designs on her myself, and I've discovered her in the process of writing a letter. And I say to her,
To a doctor of my kind, how could you ever imagine you could deceive me? And I advise you, young miss, to be very much more careful and to behave in a better way. And then it becomes, later, a terrific diatribe at this poor girl. He goes on and on and on and on at her, and getting faster and faster and more spectacular. And not at Glyndebourne, but in the first company in London, which I sang this part, we had a Rosina from, I think, Hungary at one time. And I don't think she knew what I was singing about, because although the whole aria was sung to her and she was supposed to cry and I was supposed to confront her with evidence and she was then eventually putting her tongue out at me and doing everything, this girl, after just about where I'd got to there, left the stage and left me with 4.5 minutes of diatribe at her. What is more, she left through the fireplace. It was a large, ornate fireplace, but the way she went out.
Oh, dear.
Dennis, you understand foreign tongues, I know. Listen to this passage, sung 3 times, no less, and then tell me afterwards what they were telling us. What is it?
Delightful.
Well, is there a fireplace I can exit? It actually sounded like some kind of jingle for city piano hire.
It did a bit.
Now,
yes.
Ian's a hell of a good opera singer, but a very slow writer. And it says, planning an elopement out of a window.
Yes, right, yes.
They're saying, figure it, as the Americans.
That's right. They're saying, let's get out quietly by the ladder from the balcony without causing a disturbance. And finally, just before the curtain falls... Ian, just tell us in a word, what has finally made you willing to release Rosina to her lover?
What has finally made me well, because basically I'm a snob,
yes.
And I've discovered that instead of her lover being a student, I think that it is the Count Almaviva, and perhaps, you know, we're all going to come up a bit in the world.
Might be
a bad thing.
I've written down here, a fat dowry. That's really what it amounts to, isn't it?
Well, it comes to much the same thing.
Exactly, yes. Let's get some song lines placed. John, thy breath be rude. What song is that in? Nothing personal, just a quotation.
One of Johnny Mercer's things.
No, Bill was the name of the author. Do you know it,
who?
Frank? Thy breath be rude. Though thy breath be rude. Oh, come on. It's from Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind. Though thy breath be rude, etc. Frank, every road has a turning.
Cherry ripe.
Every road has a turning.
Well, when you're in trouble, you just have to try and get
every road has a turning. That's one thing you're learning.
I cried
for you.
No, I cried for you.
Right.
Now it's your turn to
cry over thee. Yes. Ian, reply, reply, reply.
Don't know, don't know, don't know.
You don't know how begot, how nourished that question was? Tell me, where is fancy bread, or in the heart, or in the head? How begot, how nourished, reply, reply, reply.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tennis, try you. Your turn. You can do the job while you're in town.
Ah.
You're putting try
in
stress.
The meadow, we will build a snowman.
Pretend that it is Parson Brown.
He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job
while you're in town. Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you emphasised it wrongly,
yeah,
didn't you?
I know,
you?
Yeah. From the song
from the song Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland, that's right. A quick half mark for whoever gets in first with this obscure old nonsense song. Want some seafood?
Mama. Yes. Shrimples and rice, they're very nice.
But the title?
Hold Tight.
Ah, there's the half mark. Tell me, audience, in this final round, the party pieces, we call them, would you like Frank to sing a very short song or a very long song? Away you go, Frank.
When we are married, why, what will I do? I'll be as sweet as I can be to you. I will be tender, and I will be true. When I am married, sweetheart, to you.
Chilea, the composer, Lolesiana, the opera, Federico, the character, and the singer, John.
Anch'io vorrei dormir così, nel sonno almeno voglio trovar la pace sol, cercando mio
Lindido. One of the I want to go back
because after that we descend from high to low, so you could get the bends
into your decompression chamber.
Yes.
Well, I must explain. One of the I want to go back songs was about going back to the shack where the black-eyed Susans grow. But as many songs did in those days, it attracted a parody version, which Dennis now sings.
Down in the dell where the cross-eyed clearers grow, I'm gonna go back to the shack at the back of Cowheel Row. And when I go, they'll say, welcome home, my honey, and they'll borrow all my money, and they'll make me a puddin', a beefsteak puddin', with roses round the door. Down in the town where the girls drink Holland's gin to make them thin, fried fish and chips are the only flowers that grow. They love them so, and dear old dad will get mad when my young auntie Flo cooks the Sunday dinner in his old banjo. Down in the dell where the class-eyed clearers grow.
Whenever a Jerome Kern song shows signs of being chosen by one of our number, I go all warm inside. I suppose it's because, as Ian sings,
I'm old-fashioned, I love the moonlight, I love the old-fashioned things, the sound of rain upon a window pane, the starry song that April sings. This year's fancies are passing fancies, but sighing sighs, holding hands,
these my heart understands. I'm old-fashioned, but I don't mind it. That's how I want to be, as long as you agree to stay old-fashioned with me.
Talk about Michael Jackson.
Nice to think that someone somewhere was hearing that song for the very first time. A quiz was going on earlier on, and it led to a victory, I see, a very tiny one for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.